Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. On the broadcast today, we want to talk about the subject of marriage. You know, here we are in late spring, and we're summer's on its way here. And a lot of times, this is a time where a number of weddings take place. So you go to the wedding, and a lot of people, of course, attending various weddings and those types of things. And some of the folks say, well, you know what, I'd like to get married myself. Some of the young people that are there, and they see the beautiful wedding taking place and so forth, and all the trappings involved in a wedding. And they say, you know, I would really like to get married myself. Well, there's some steps to that, right? There's some thinking that needs to take place beforehand to make sure that you're marrying the right person and that you've thought through the idea of marriage. I was reading an article recently. This is out. This was on what's called the Royal Gazette, so it's out of the UK, and it says, "Should I stay with a man who isn't ready for marriage?" And so it's kind of one of these advice columns. And the person then says here, asking the expert, you know, on what they should do in this situation. And she says this, "I truly believe that marriage is the most sacred love two people can have together. And I thought I had found the man I would marry someday. We have a good relationship, work hard, and have stable jobs, and are both faithful to each other because we know the pain of being cheated on. We are also very family-oriented and have talked about our lives together, and marriage has come up. In a brief conversation we had, he expressed that he was not ready, which is fine. So we have just continued enjoying one another in our relationship. But now, time has passed, and we had the real talk last night, and now he says he does not want to get married ever. And all of the time that I had, invested in this and so forth," the young woman goes on then to say that, you know, she feels that it was all for naught, that he wasn't prepared to get married, and so now she doesn't, you know, she just feels that she had wasted a lot of that time. Well, maybe not. Maybe that in that relationship she learned a few things. Well, along that line about just thinking about marriage in this way, I saw that there was a book that has come out recently from Shepherd Press, and their website is www.shepherdpress.com. And the title of it caught my attention. It's Marry Wisely, Marry Well is the title of the book, and it's written by Ernie Baker, and the foreword is by Ken Sandy. And in the book, on the website, it says this: does marriage matter anymore? If so, is it even possible to have a stable marriage? How do you choose the right one? Is there anything to work on now, even before being in a relationship? Marry Wise, Marry Well teaches you how to start building your future marriage, your future marriage house, even before you begin a relationship. Learn to make a wise choice of a spouse and how to start preparing yourself for a future relationship that is truly built upon Christ. Ernie's been with me before on the radio broadcast, but let me say that he is a professor of biblical counseling at the Master's College and Seminary in Southern California. He serves as a pastor for 25 years. He's a certified conciliator and with Peacemaker Ministries, and a fellow with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. That's ACBC. And Ernie and his wife Rose have 6 children, and 5 of them are married, and 7 grandchildren. Ernie, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a blessing to be on with you.
Well, at first, Ernie, when I saw that Ken Sandy had written the foreword for the book, I thought, well, Ken Sandy, I think about him with peacemaking. And I thought, well, that's a funny person to have write a book about marriage, but maybe, or not write a book, but write the foreword for it. But maybe not so much. Maybe that's just the right person to have as a foreword for your book.
I thought it was totally appropriate because we're trying to help people make wise choices so they don't have to end up with a mediator like Ken or some other conciliator down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
in that case,
I was very thankful.
Yeah, in that case, it's a very wise choice. Let me get you, I read just a little bit of the statement that's made out on Shepherd Press website about the book, but let me let you give us a little bit deeper overview of what people will find in this book.
Well, I can tell you the heart behind it was targeting singles, ideally the single that's not even in a relationship yet, to make wiser choices because the way we're doing things obviously isn't working with the high divorce rate and just all of the, many people would report misery in their marriage, so unfortunately, and I think that's not the way the Lord intended it, so I'm trying to catch young people earlier and answering two main questions for the book. How do you make a wise choice of a spouse? So what is biblical wisdom? And then how do you build it into your life? And then secondly, how do you get yourself ready for marriage even before being in a relationship? Because I think there's a lot of things that young people could be working on. And an ideal use would be parents or youth pastors, college pastors, discipling their kids to help answer those two questions. So that's the heart behind the book.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks like myself, pastors across the country and abroad, have adopted the policy that they won't marry a couple until they go through premarital counseling. And a lot of times using a book like your book here, or you have Wayne Mack, I think, that, Dr. Wayne Mack was one of the supporters of the book and wrote an endorsement for it and so forth. And his book is on preparing for marriage and so forth has been very helpful. Do you find that has that alleviated the problem? You've made reference to the idea of the problem of broken marriages and so forth and the amount of counseling and so forth that is taking place. Has that gone quite a ways in order to kind of alleviate the problem or at least get people thinking in the right way before they get married?
Well, I would first say I'm very thankful for people that do premarital counseling, but my conviction right now would be that there is no magic 8 or 10 sessions of premarital counseling that'll prepare someone for marriage because of the culture we're living in right now. And so I just don't think it's enough, and that we're not starting early enough with young people. So my book's really about, some have called it pre-engagement counseling or pre-engagement, of how do you help get people ready and then still do premarital counseling. But having been a pastor for many years, and by the way, I'm back in pastoral ministry now. I teach part-time at Masters, but I'm on staff at First Baptist Church in Jacksonville and very thankful to be there.
Oh, good.
And, premarital counseling is wonderful, but in light of where our culture is right now, I just don't think it's enough. We need to start sooner with our young people.
Mm-hmm. When I visit folks in the hospital, especially folks that are from the church that I pastor here in outside of Greenville in TR, Traveler's Rest, I find that if they're obviously people that are in the congregation, are members there at the church, or have been with us for a long period of time and sat under the preaching, of course, the counseling is much different when I'm there in the hospital room with them. They already have a really good foundation through the preaching that they've been sitting under and the, you know, the books that we have gone through and so forth, books of the Bible, so that, boy, it just is so much easier to just go through this with them in order, you know, we're kind of tracking on the same page about God and what he does through suffering and so forth. Is that basically the same thing that you're talking about here with this book, that if these young people have been in the congregation and have listened to the general preaching of God's word, they're going to have a much better foundation in order to think about this important step of getting married later on?
I would, and I agree with that totally. I would just add one thing, and that would be that they've also been discipled. So having parents who have mentored them, or a youth pastor who has mentored them, or a college pastor who has mentored them. So I think of the public ministry of the word and the private ministry of the word, and that the Lord uses both of those people to, or both of those things, to equip people for life. So, and if we do that, then we're doing preventative counseling in people's lives rather than all this remedial counseling that we're having to do.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because I totally agree with that. In fact, we actually switched in our mission statement. It used to say, seeking the glory of God and the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints through the preaching of God's word. But we changed it to the ministry of God's word, realizing just what you spoke about there, that the ministry of the word is much broader than, as important as it is, than the, just the public preaching of it on the Lord's Day. It takes place offline, if you will, you know, in a number of other different settings as well. And we tried to reflect the importance of that in that mission statement. So that that's basically what you're alluding to, right?
That's exactly what I'm alluding to. When I, you know, you think of Paul's ministry, his ministry was public proclamation, and then Acts 26, I believe it says, he went from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I think, large group and small group, but he was always ministering the word to people.
Well, let's walk through your book a little bit, if we could. Let's, three parts of the book, as you mentioned, part one, talking about laying a good foundation, and then in part two, the first floor of the building. So it's built around this building motif or concept here. And then part three deals with the roof. Let's talk about that first part, laying the good foundation. Building on wisdom is where you start with in that. Talk about that subject, and then maybe we could make a transition to the second chapter right there as well. The fact that, of course, Christ is the foundation of wisdom.
Absolutely. I would love to talk about it. So the analogy in the whole book is based on the idea of a house, because house is used in Scripture, and Proverbs 24 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. So you have to have a good foundation for a house. So I just tried to think through, okay, what is wisdom biblically? And there's an extended discussion in the book on Proverbs 2 of wisdom being defined there as knowledge plus understanding. And so knowing biblical thinking, knowing how to ask the right questions, that builds wisdom into your life. And as someone grows in wisdom, Proverbs 2 talks about how that'll make a difference in making choices in your relationships. And Proverbs 2 directly talks about wisdom in relationships, how wisdom will keep you away from certain types of people and you'll be attracted to the right kind of people.
Mm.
And then, of course, wisdom biblically, Colossians talks about that wisdom is embodied in our Savior.
Amen.
So one of the things I try to emphasize in that chapter is that for a Christian young person, I believe the days have come to an end where we can just be satisfied with, well, he's just a nice Christian boy and he goes to church. What is the evidence in the person's life that this person you're attracted to or who is pursuing you really is a follower of Christ and not just claims to be a Christian. So that chapter talks about what does it really mean to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of the Lord, someone who has really come to true saving faith, and there's evidence, there's trajectory in the person's life.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the opening chapters of the book.
Well, that that right there, a couple of things. When we say wisdom, are we talking about knowledge applied? With what would be a good working definition of the word wisdom in a biblical context?
The best definition I found is in Proverbs 2:6, that defines wisdom as knowledge plus understanding. So knowledge, there's information. Then understanding is the Hebrew word discernment. Hmm. So you have discernment to know how to apply that information. So that means you have to gather information, and then you apply it like you just defined wisdom. It's applied knowledge or applied information. You ask the right questions, like, what's the trajectory of this person's life? What's their track record? You know, where do they seem to be headed? And then you make choices based upon the information that you've gathered.
Mm-hmm. And that a lot of times is hard work. And it's a lot of times people, I find, you know, they don't really like the answers that come back, especially in the context of what we're talking about now in an engagement when, let's just say, the girl is a believer, a strong believer, and she's met a young man. And so, you know, you say, well, is he a believer? Well, you know, his family is they've been very faithful in church and so forth. And his dad, you know, he's been like a leader at this one church here in town for a long period of time. And then I kind of say, well, yeah, that's wonderful. I'm glad the family is involved that way. But, you know, is he actually, I mean, what does he say for himself? Well, he's got a Bible. In fact, he asked me to get him a Bible for Christmas this year. You know, he said that he started dating me and he knew that, so he wanted to get a Bible. And they're really willing, it seems, to kind of squeeze them into the kingdom of God, you know, to make exceptions and not look clearly at what the data really is saying. And you could just see that this is going to be difficult for them to come to this conclusion. But if they don't, it's going to be disastrous later on in the marriage, right?
Exactly. I'm hearing all kinds of, you know, bells going off as you're describing that scenario. And I'm trying to get young people to not be so caught up in the romance model of just going by desires and we're attracted to one another. And my favorite chapter in the book is the subject of attractions, where I really try to tackle from what I think is faithful biblical thinking on what is attraction, where is all this attraction coming from, and helping young people really be more discerning about the inner person, or what the Bible calls the heart. Jonathan Edwards would call it the affections. You know, what are you living for in your inner person? So getting them to think through, why are you attracted to this person, and what is that telling you about your drives, your desires, your wants? But yes, I'm hearing all kinds of warning in that that scenario you just described.
I can almost hear some, like, we'll stick with the idea of a young girl in this situation, but I can almost hear her saying, okay, Pastor Bowling, Pastor Baker, you know, you guys are out there talking about this stuff, but listen, I'm lonely. Man, it's been hard for me to find somebody that has actually shown an interest in me. This young man has shown an interest. And, yeah, you're saying here, well, he's got to be, you know, a theology major or something. He's got to be some great theologian or something. You don't understand. I have to live this way for the rest of my life. This might be my my last best chance to get married, and now you guys are raising the bar so high, you just want me to walk away from this, and I've got to live with it for the rest of my life, you would say?
Well, there's a statement, it was attributed to Benjamin Franklin, which I find ironic, but he said, before marriage, have your eyes wide open. After marriage, have them half closed. And I'm just trying to warn young people. And later on in the book, I talk about that scenario of loneliness and what do you do, because I really believe the Lord is your shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I would say to that young person, you're going to have to vigorously live a life of faith, trusting God. But I do marriage counseling regularly. You know, even as we're talking here, I have on my mind marriages that we are working on trying to save in our ministry. And I would just say to young people, please make a wise choice, because you're saving yourself a lot of pain. And I'm saying that out of actually thousands of hours of marriage counseling. So this is my attempt to try to save young people from the pain that I see on and hear about on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And this isn't apart from being a Christian. This is rubber meets the road Christian living. Like you talk about, you know, why are you attracted to this person? You grow more in your spiritual relationship if you go through these questions and ask yourself and get to the core of what you're thinking about and why you're desiring certain things. It'll have a huge impact on your Christian life. Again, if you're willing, when you're faced with the questions and the answers that come from thinking about these things, to face them, it'll make a dramatic difference in your Christian life, I would think, as you go through this. I used a girl in the first analogy kind of on the one side of this, but in the second part of your book, you know, where you talk about the first floor, you says the first chapter is wise living during the single years. Let me zero in on the guys here for a minute. I find a lot of guys who are just not ready to be married, at least not like it seemed they were years ago. You know, they don't have any money. They don't even have a steady job. They're not even quite sure what they want to do in this life. They've just been kind of wandering around. I've met some that even though they're getting married a little bit later in life, you know, they spend most of their time playing video games and so forth. And, you know, just really, they've made very little, if any, preparation to enter into a marriage relationship. Do you find that to be the case as well?
Most definitely. Just tell you just an intriguing little statistic, which is unscientific. So I'm not even claiming this is scientific. It's just an interesting insight. But so until we transitioned in ministry back to Jacksonville, Florida, just 6 months ago, before that for 12 years, I was teaching in the counseling, biblical counseling department at Masters, and I taught marriage and family class for undergraduates every semester. Two-thirds of my class every semester were female, and about a third or less were guys.
Mm.
And I just found that very interesting. Of the guys didn't even want to face this subject, even though probably within 2 to 3 years of graduating or 2 or 3 years from the time that they would be in my class, they're probably going to be married statistically.
Hmm.
So I just found it just an intriguing insight about our culture and where men are, or young men are, in our culture. So I agree with you totally.
Hmm. I remember years ago I did a book interview, and the title of the book was Getting Ready to Get for Getting Married. And it was really, you know, focusing on the fact of just, you know, this whole preparation phase. You say you want to get married, but, you know, you got to think through. You're now entering into this covenant relationship with another person if we're focusing on the guy thinking this way so he's entering into this covenant relationship with his wife, and all the responsibility, this is being done before Almighty God, as well as these witnesses, as well as others, And, you know, what sort of preparation has there been for this? And I just think you wouldn't go into a even into business, a small business, with that type of lackadaisical effort put into it. And yet here you're talking about a lifelong commitment with another person, and you're living in the same house and raising children and so forth, and yet very little thought or any sort of effort put into that typically is what we see. Final section of the book, The Roof, you know, the results of wise building. Let me just say, we've been talking about some of the negatives of it. Done right and with the blessing of the Lord, the home becomes a slice of heaven upon the face of the earth. It's a wonderful thing, right?
Amen. Absolutely. And I'm trying to send a message throughout the book that young people don't have to be a marriage statistic. God's ways really do work. There's enough negative apologetics going on against marriage, people saying marriage doesn't matter anymore, just live together. And so I'm trying to send a message that if you do things God's ways, so sowing and reaping, a basic biblical principle, you're going to reap what you sow. Mm. And God's ways really do work. And not perfection, because you're going to marry another Genesis 3 person, just like yourself.
Yeah.
But you, by the grace of God, the gospel, two people who are followers of Jesus Christ, just think about words related to the gospel. It's words like grace, forgiveness, love, mercy. And if people are really living out the gospel in their marriage, the Lord makes a dramatic difference in their relationship. And it's a wonderful blessing. I can't imagine not being married. And I'm very thankful for my wife, Rose, and the stability that that brings into my life, and children and now grandchildren, and just a wonderful blessing.
Amen. That's worth a broadcast in itself, just articulating the blessings that God brings to us in a godly marriage. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Well, Ernie, thank you so much. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for your work out there at the Master's College and Seminary, and now in the pastoral ministry as well, and for getting up so early in order to, since there's a time difference, in order to talk to us today on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Lord bless you, too. Very thankful for you.
Oh, thank you, Ernie. Appreciate that. That was Ernie Baker, and the book is called Marry Wisely, Marry Well. You can get a copy of this book. It would make a great graduation present. It would make a, I know maybe the young person will say, you know, Mom, Dad, come on, you know, why are you giving me this now or something? But you need to prepare early, you know, get ready for these things. This would make a great book to do that. In fact, one of the endorsers of the book, I think he said that, as I read through it, he was talking about just how wonderful this was and how it would make a great gift for young people. Bob Kellerman made that comment, I think, on his comments.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.